Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
Hey, no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's get this week started. Let's go. Let's go. We got a lot to do on Willard and Dibs, 888-957-9570. There's a lot for you to hear. My goodness. Mike Dunleavy talking. Joe Lacob talking. Tom Pelissero talking about Brock Purdy. We're going to get to all of it. We welcome you to join in and discuss this. But yeah, listen, I can explain it in a much more, and we will, like, eloquent sort of a way, but bleep the future, man. Like, and I don't mean that in just like who cares and don't even think about it. I don't mean that. I just don't think that we have what people think we might have. I think Jonathan Kuminga is a very good player, but I do think you've got to ask yourself if you honestly think in the post-Steph era that you're looking at a true core piece of an important basketball team. If you honestly think that that's where this can go, then fine. Be on that side of the fence.
What does core piece mean? If he's your best player, you're not a good team, you're not a playoff team, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But can he be your second or third best player?
I don't even
absolutely.
I don't think he can be your second either.
Yeah, see, I disagree with that.
That's fine.
And, you know, you're talking about a 22-year-old who is showing improvement year over year. He's getting better. And this year, it seems like he's coming into his own now in a starting role with Draymond coming off the bench, and he's got 57 more games this year to prove to everyone the kind of player he is.
I very well might be wrong, but that's the way you got to play this game, man. You got to be willing to be wrong. You have to take shots. And I just, if I'm sitting here, if we're going to really whittle it down to this, if I'm sitting here looking at two very unlikely propositions, I'll grant you that. Two unlikely propositions. One proposition is, can they make something of this Steph Curry era with two and a half, if you want to call it 3 years left? Can you make something of that? Or the other proposition is Jonathan Kuminga is a true future star. I would argue both of these are unlikely, but which shot am I going to take? I know for sure which shot I'm going to take. I'm going to try to make this team something. And it is much deeper and more layered than just Jonathan Kuminga. I know we talk all about that, but that is their best human asset right now for the future. There's no two ways about that. But to me, this is just like, in a way, you want to know who I'm disagreeing with? It's not you or any of our listeners or Mike Dunleavy. I'm kind of disagreeing with Joe Lacob. That's who I disagree with. I disagree with the idea of two timelines, chain link fences, San Antonio Spurs, any of this idea of when true superstars leave, you can just keep it flat and be just as good again the next year. No, you can't. No, you can't. And so in 2 years, in my opinion, you're starting over. You're starting over. And what assets do you have at that time? We'll see. But I'm not going to sit here, put my feet in cement because of I don't know what in 2027. To me, it's a worthwhile risk. I don't know. I'm like sort of like you. I don't know what deal's available. But if there is one that you truly believe makes you a better basketball team this year, do it. Do it. That's my message.
Yeah, my message is don't do it because there are no series of moves that would sacrifice your future to a point where you're going to be good enough to get it done this year. I don't see it, and I don't believe it. And the whole idea of the maximizing of Steph Curry's window and Draymond and Steve, which has now been entered into it, because I do think that Steve Kerr likely will coach out the remainder of this contract, and probably at that point he'll be good and he'll go on to do something else, whether it's politics, humanitarianism, or just chilling at the beach. He probably is going to go on and find other things to do with his life. So for me, it's not only about the Steph Curry window, and I'm more of the mindset of Joe Lacob, where he's going to own the team, and he's looking at what this team's going to be in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. I don't imagine that he's looking to offload this asset. You've got a beautiful arena. The All-Star game is here, and they're printing money down there. So I don't think that they look at it in terms of we owe this to Steph, and we've got two more years, 2.5 years of Steph, and you know what? We better maximize it, because Steiny makes a good point about in that last year when Steph turns 39, he's not going to be, if he is your best player at 39, you're not a championship contending team.
I'm not worried about when he's 39.
I'm worried about when he's 36.
I'm worried
about, right now, he's not good enough to carry a team to a championship.
Well, it depends on who's around him. That's my opinion. What he has around him right now, this doesn't work. That I'm convinced of, and so are they, I think. That's why you're hearing Mike Dunleavy hold press conferences and say the things that he's saying. You know, and it leads to the question to all of you, 888-957-9570, how aggressive do you want the Warriors to be on behalf of Steph Curry? Because that's essentially what Dunleavy says right here at his press conference this morning.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're always aggressive. You know, you got to be mindful of what you're giving up, what you're getting back, all those things. But anything to do to make the team better, we're going to do. We're in a time zone here of maximizing our window with Steph and Draymond and Steve as our coach. So as proven here on the first day, we could basically make trades with certain players. We did that, and we'll continue to look at things. But, you know, for the most part, I feel good about this team, particularly on the defensive end. And now we add a player that we think can create and generate more offense for us. I want to evaluate and see, but we'll always be looking at stuff.
I mean, like he says it right there to us, doesn't he? Unless you don't take him at face value, we are at a time of trying to maximize the window of Steph, Draymond, and Steve. And we'll have a separate conversation, I know, later about the fact that he put Steve's name in there too, which I think is significant. I know you do too.
Yep.
For multiple reasons, but that's what I'm talking about. 2/3 years from now, you're rebooting. There will not be Steve, and there will not be anything that matters.
Draymond or Wiggs or Steph. Wiggs might be here.
Maybe.
But
I don't know exactly how that's going to go, but you're going to be running a new system with new players and a new financial structure and a new everything. And so I don't understand what the worry is. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like everyone's very worried that we're going to give up something that is generational.
Well, you're going to give up a lot of something.
Or transformational.
I think the worry for me is that you're going to give up assets for something that won't work. And, you know, you can throw out whatever name you want.
Yep.
I don't think that this team is a player away from being top of the conference, a star, two stars. I think this team is kind of far away from being a real threat to go deep in the playoffs, and that's just my opinion. And you can say, you know, what do you want to do with the Steph window? Well, you want to win a championship. I don't believe you have the pieces that you can use as assets or the picks to bring in the players to make this team that viable to do that. So maybe you just want to go on a deep run. Well, if you just want to go on a deep run, I think that the roster you have now is good enough to get in the playoffs and maybe make some noise and maybe go on that run without having to expend future assets that I believe are going to be important. And it's not about two timelines. It's about sensible franchise operation for me, because when Steph is gone and Steve is only signed for this year and one more and Draymond about the same, when they leave, you're going to want to have something, assets, players, or both,
to
keep this thing interesting and going.
And in theory, you will. You know what I mean? Like, whatever they give up assets for, there will be assets coming back in return, and who knows how you can regenerate those. That's what good franchises do. They're going to be thoughtful about that. But let me ask you this, Dibs. Like, okay, what do you, if you don't want to mortgage things, if you don't want to first-round draft picks and Jonathan Kuminga, what do you want them to do this year?
I want them to make moves like they just made, which is you brought in a good professional, rotational, starter-level player for an asset that you weren't going to keep anyway. That was a brilliant trade for them.
That was a very good trade. I mean, we'll see how it plays. We'll see what it looks like starting on Thursday.
So you've got a couple more expiring contracts GP2 and Kevon Looney, guys who honestly probably won't be here next year anyway. As sad as it is to think about two fan favorites not being here, those are assets that you can utilize in another trade like that, where you package an expiring deal, maybe you shovel off a couple of more second round picks or whatever you have, and you bring in another veteran rotational player like that.
I mean, that's kind of what they are already. They're veteran rotational players.
Right, but I think you can get a better player than what GP2 and Kevon are.
Do you have someone in mind, or are you just kind of general?
Well, we've talked about, I mean, everyone talks about Vucevic, a guy who is, you know, getting older. Guy who is, I think he might be expiring as well. He doesn't make a ton of money.
He's not expiring. He's got, you're right, he doesn't make a ton of money, but he's got another year after this one, and he makes in the neighborhood of 20 to 21.
Okay. So that, to me, is a player who immediately comes in, even if it costs you GP2 and Kevon, and that money probably isn't quite enough, but close.
Bulls are going to probably want you to put a pick in there.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, second-round picks are like candy.
But no, what if they want a first-round pick?
Well, then we have to think about it. And honestly, if it's a first-round pick, like you were saying, in 2025, that's different than 2029.
I don't hate that idea. I have no idea what the Bulls want in return. I don't know if it's just expiring.
It's only December, so.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't mind that thought at all. I really don't. But I don't know if those deals are out there either. And whether this is fair or not, just like any workplace, there are politics. And I don't think that it's going to play well to any of those monsters in the room. Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Steve Kerr. Absolute monster presence within this organization. I don't think it's going to play well to them to be like, yeah, we're, you know, like small moves, little things. I just, and maybe you don't care about that.
Yeah, sometimes it's not about them.
Okay.
You know, and
the NBA it usually is.
Well, depends on what you're dealing with. And, you know, Steph Curry at 36 is under contract, and you know, I think that the move that they just made, it seems like they're in favor of bringing in Dennis Schroeder.
It's a good one.
So are there other good ones of that ilk that you could make? I believe that there are.
Maybe. But I mean, again, when you say like sometimes it's not all about them, I'm just following cues. I mean, isn't that what Mike Dunleavy just said to us? It is about them.
Well, he's trying to maximize the window.
And it's their window. He literally put their names on it.
I've yet to hear Draymond or Steph, you know, hint or come out and flatly say,
well, they're not going to do that.
Some players would.
That doesn't feel or sound good.
Exactly.
Like that's what Dunleavy's there for. He's there to protect them. He's there in this case to speak for them.
Other players have come out and done that, is all I'm saying. Yeah. And you've got some high profile players who've been very vocal about their needs and their wants. And LeBron James is a great example of that.
Yeah, LeBron, obviously a little bit different. But all right, 888-957-9570. We're going to go straight to the calls on this. How aggressive do you want the Warriors to be with the Steph window? Or do you want them to hold back because it's a fool's errand? We're sponsored by Safeway. 888-957-9570. We're set to take your calls now on Willard and Dibs.
know, you're down 12. At some point, they have to cool off, yes, you would think. Prosper takes a baseline drive, throws it to the corner to Dinwiddie. Up top to Doncic, another three above the break, and he nails it. He is 4 of 6 from distance, 9 of 11 from the field. He's got 24 points.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Wait a minute, Grandy.
Hold on just a minute.
Is Dibley playing for the Mavs?
I heard the same thing.
What the hell was that?
Topside,
everybody, listen to this again and tell me that Tim Roy doesn't, like, have the ball moving around the circle to Dibley.
You know, you're down 12. At some point, they have to cool off, yes, you would think. Prosper takes a baseline drive, throws it to the corner to Dibley. Up top to Doncic, another three above the break, and he nails it.
What the hell were you doing in the
corner? He is 4 of 6 from distance, 9 of 11 from the field. He's got 24 points.
I heard it again. This time I was listening for it. He threw it into the corner to Dibley.
I could score below the break.
It was supposed to be Dinwiddie, but he said it very quickly.
He swallowed did. It.
Yeah.
He swallowed a Dinwiddie. He came out with a Dibley.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's salacious. Wow. All right.
Topside Doncic in the corner to Dibley.
I that's a raise for you. I've seen the NBA minimum salary.
Not bad.
Good for you.
Yeah. You haven't seen my salary. Might be a pay cut, as far as you know. See what Spencer makes. Yeah, Grandy, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Spencer's probably making about 8.
At least.
No, he's only making 2.1.
Only?
That would be a pay cut.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. How aggressive do you want to get with the Steph Curry window? This is what we're talking about, and I'm going to, again, keep saying it. I didn't say this. The general manager of the Warriors said this.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're always aggressive. You know, you got to be mindful of what you're giving up, what you're getting back, all those things. But anything to do to make the team better, we're going to do. We're in a time zone here of maximizing our window with Steph and Draymond and Steve as our coach. So as proven here on the first day, we could basically make trades with certain players. We did that, and we'll continue to look at things. But, you know, for the most part, I feel good about this team, particularly on the defensive end. And now we add a player that we think can create and generate more offense for us. I want to evaluate and see, but we'll always be looking at stuff.
I do want to tuck this in for everyone from the TK show with Joe Lacob, owner of the Warriors. When he was asked about the Steph window and maximizing it, he said this.
I'm always trying to win. I mean, I don't care if it's maximize Steph years or maximize Draymond years, maximize my years.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to me. I mean, we're trying to win at all times and be the best team we can.
Ooh.
Yeah. Maximize my years. Well, he is 68, you know, if the average life expectancy is about 80, I think, for males in the United States of America, so maximize his year. He's got 12 more years on the average.
I don't know if he's thinking about that way.
But he's looking to maximize his years.
Yeah.
It's his team, I know he owns it with about 15 other people, but
sure. He
is the principal owner, so.
To me, there was a little in there, just a little bit, like Steph's window. Oh, it's all about Steph's window. My team.
My window.
My team.
I love that.
I don't dislike that. I do think, prediction, we're headed for someday in the future where Joe Lacob will get, and I hope he's hearing this because he'll hate it and he will completely disagree with it, but we're headed for a day where he's going to get the wake-up call that you don't get to win in the NBA just because you're an awesome owner willing to do anything. I just don't think it works that way.
I think he's had that wake-up call.
I don't know. He's never owned a day in his life without Steph Curry on the team.
No, but he's owned teams that haven't won, and it drives him to want to compete and get back to where he's winning.
For sure. But so I love the idea of, yes, push at all times. That's great. But the whole, we're light years ahead, and we know what we're doing, and as soon as he's gone, we're going to have another answer. I don't know if there's always an answer. This isn't math. There isn't always an answer.
But you can always try to find an answer, and I do admire that sort of a go-getter mentality where he's not seeing it as maximize Steph Curry's window, and then we're going to stink. He doesn't look at it that way. I think he looks at it as maximize Steph Curry's window, yes, but also keep an eye toward us still having the ability to be good when Steph is gone. And for him, that would involve draft capital. That would involve a young core of players who can at least be rotational players, and then going out and landing a big free agent fish, which I bet you he thinks when Steph is gone and Draymond's gone, he thinks that he has the ability to go out there and get whatever player is available that year, no matter what.
Good luck.
Well, that is his. It's hubris.
It's a wonderful mindset.
And that's the mindset I believe that he has.
Yeah, but I mean, give me the team that's in that spot right now where, like, they're rebooting. They used to have, like, I don't know if this is a great example, but let's talk about the Portland Blazers for a second. They had a star. They had Dame Lillard. And they finally realized that wasn't enough. Now, he's nowhere near as old as Steph, but I think Warrior fans get the comp. If you're in that bucket of, like, Steph is too old, this isn't happening anymore. All right, fine. All right, you got your star, and you're not going to be able to win with him. What do you do? Now, you reboot. You send him to Milwaukee. You start building assets, and you're in the process of drafting people and trying to find the next dude, right? How's Portland doing as a free agent destination right now?
It's a different story, but not well.
Right. And yes, it is a bit of a different story, but my point would be, as much as Chase Center is beautiful and the Bay Area is the Bay Area and the Warriors brand is the Warriors brand, if Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Steve Kerr are not here, this is not the free agent destination that it currently is.
It's not as good, but money talks and, you know, bowl things walk.
For the big guys, though, like, you know what I mean?
Depends on what you're looking at.
Giannis and LeBron want to play here because Steph is here, not because they like the color blue.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, but looking at the 2027 list of free agents, which includes Steph Curry, here are the names that are on the list.
Give it to me.
Anthony Davis.
Okay.
He'll be 35.
No thanks.
Giannis Antetokounmpo at 33.
Okay.
Damian Lillard, the aforementioned, he'll be 37. Nikola Jokic, 33. Karl Anthony Towns, 32.
I mean, these are all maybes, by the way, because they could sign extensions
in the
meantime. Correct,
but just looking ahead, that's a pretty monster list of names.
They all sound like they're getting old.
Well, Giannis at 33, I like that on a four-year deal. But
sure.
Donovan Mitchell, Trae Young, Luka Doncic, these are all players who are eligible to be free agents at that time.
Right. Doncic's not getting out of there.
But the point is, if you're Joe Lacob and you're punching up this list, you're thinking, I can at least swim in those waters. I'm Joe Lacob.
Yeah.
You know? And whether or not...
Yeah.
Come on, Luca.
You can come play with Jonathan Kuminga.
Well, Kuminga might be on the cusp of greatness at that point.
Maybe.
And you know, by then, you will have drafted other players, and maybe you'll wind yourself in the lottery. Your team then will be different than what it is now.
Look, maybe I'm just damaged through years of watching this, but I Steph Curry, even though getting older, is a bird in hand, and no one else is. And this idea of, I mean, take Bryce Eldridge of the Giants right now. I know Giants fans think, woo, baby, this guy's firing through the system, and he's going to be a dude. And he might. I hope he is. But maybe not. Maybe not, because every time you've got this player with quote-unquote promise, let's be real. Feels like about 85% of the time. No, he's not. No, he's not. And that works in big levels and small. 6 months ago, Joe Lacob referred to Brandon Podziemski as a future all-star. Now Warrior fans don't even want him coming off the bench. So this idea of future promise, I pick what I know. And I know that Steph Curry can play at a very high level, even still now. And so even if this is not a high, you know, percentage play, to me, that's still the play. Because I know if you surround Steph and Draymond with special people, you can cook. You can cook something. I don't know if it's enough anymore to win
at
all.
And special people is, that to me is a reach.
Special
because,
role players, like they did before.
Like they just did with Dennis Schroeder, potentially.
Yeah, that's a great move.
For me, it's more about those moves than it is about trading three or four players and a couple of picks to bring in a big boy, because I don't think that is enough to get you over the hump and get you back to a championship level. I don't think that trade exists, and Steph Curry is still a very good player, but maybe it's the Olympic experience and he didn't have a great restful offseason, but what you're seeing from Steph Curry is they're playing him less, he's shooting less, he's scoring less. Teams are basically daring everyone else to beat them, and right now, that's not working for the Warriors.
Let's go to Jake in Concord. How aggressive do y'all want to be with the rest of Steph Curry's career 888-957-9570 the number. Hi, Jake. Thank you for calling, man.
How big is the bulldozer? Okay. I would say this. My concern is I don't see any of our young players after three and a half years of development that are looking to me like they would be a primary option on a championship team, both offensively and defensively. I don't see that from Moody. I certainly don't see it from Kuminga. He gets lost on defense all the time, overhelps, and that's why we gave up so many really good looks yesterday, at least part of the reason. I just think you said it. Bird in the hand. I'm a Warriors fan from 1970, okay? And I was here when Rick Barry came back from the ABA. And we got him back and won a championship. That was a special time. We didn't have another special time till Steph Curry came along. And I think we miss, in a big way, we miss Jerry West. It's a shame because we haven't done well at picking fits into the roster. And fit is huge. You know, we haven't been doing well on that since West went to the Clippers. And look how good the Clippers are. They're just abundant with wings. And that's what we need to be doing.
Jake,
anyway,
thank you. Listen, I'm in full agreement, and I do think Warrior fans, some of them have forgotten who we used to be before Steph Curry. They really have. Like, this is like suddenly now we're fooled into the idea, and I get that there's way better ownership in place now, but we're fooled into this idea that, like, you get to be good in the NBA just because you're trying to be or you're willing to spend or whatever. You have got to find generational talents, and there just aren't that many of them who are capable of winning NBA championships. And maybe the one that you currently have has expired, maybe, but I'm not convinced yet. I'm really not, and to me it's at least worth giving it a shot if you feel like you can put different pieces around him. Because the whole concept of, guys, this isn't realistic, don't go down that rabbit hole. That's what it is every year. I was told that 3 years ago, and they won a title. Or go back to even before they picked these guys. Nobody, you're really going to win shooting threes with a guy who's not even 200 pounds? Come on, that doesn't work in the NBA. Everything is always a moonshot. So to me, it's sort of just like, what's the likelier moonshot? Putting some stuff around Steph and seeing if you can squeeze the orange one more time, or just putting this grip on these young players who, quite frankly, let's be real, have not shown any ability at all to be the centerpiece of anything special.
See, I disagree with that. And Jonathan Kuminga is continuing to improve. And so to think that he can't be the centerpiece, you just mentioned Steph Curry, and early in his career, nobody thought that he would be the centerpiece of anything at all. He had bad ankles, he was a good shooter, but nobody saw the trajectory of Steph Curry going on to be what he's become. Now, I'm not saying that Kuminga is going to end up being one of the greatest players in the history of the game. That's just ludicrous to think about that, but a young player who is improving, for me, it's a little foolhardy to not think that he can continue to get better year after year, and in a system that might be more befitting to his skill set, continue to improve. And whether or not, you know, Pods, who's what, 20 or 21?
Yeah.
You have a lot of young players who still have their best basketball in front of them.
By year four, and I get it, this isn't a perfect comp. Steph Curry played a bunch of college basketball, and Jonathan Kuminga did not. But by year four, Steph Curry was already averaging 23 a night. He was 11th in the MVP race, and he was on the verge of being an all-star, which he was starting year five and has been every year since then, except for the year that he got hurt and didn't play. So, again, not it's not apples to apples,
yep.
And I understand that.
Better to go to his 22-year-old year two, because that's where Kuminga is at 22.
Nah, see, I don't think that's fair. Because
it's not fair to take a 24-year-old Steph who's playing his eighth year of high-level basketball, 4 years at Davidson, and now 4 years in the NBA.
I say it's not apples to apples, but at the same time, like, I don't think that to me is going too far in the other direction to just be like, because they're both 22. You know, by Jonathan Kuminga's 22nd birthday, he had played in way more NBA games than Steph Curry had. Steph Curry had played in 80 games by the time he turned 22. Jonathan's played in hundreds and hundreds of NBA games.
Steph had played in 154 by the time he finished his 22-year-old season.
By the time he had finished it.
Right.
By the time
and he played for a terrible team, so he was given a lot more leash to go out there and play and explore and learn.
He started as a rookie.
He played a ton. And Kuminga's development has been retarded by the fact that he's been a bench player or not a rotational player at all because they were chasing championships.
Look, if you see it, great. Good for you. You see it. I don't see it.
I wonder if they see it.
I don't see it. And then secondarily, there's that whole conversation about fit. The whole conversation about the Warriors don't fit, man.
Well, that's why I look at the future, and the fit's going to be different. When Steph and Draymond and Steve are gone, the fit, maybe it's a team more like what Jonathan Kuminga does.
I don't argue that at all. You are right when you say that. My point is I'm willing to take that risk.
Yeah, for who, though? And that, to me, becomes the interesting part over the next couple of months, because I don't see the player out there like Zion Williamson, oft injured, and a guy who's got a huge contract still on the hook. And somebody earlier was talking about LeBron James, and that caller called back. I know you dropped off, but that, to me, is an interesting one about, you know, if LeBron decides he wants to come here and give it a go at 41... He turns 41 2 weeks from today.
Did you see the Bleacher Report put together a mock
trade
for LeBron?
With the Warriors?
Yeah.
Is it just a two-teamer?
Yes.
Okay.
And it would already have to be adjusted because Melton was in it.
Okay.
Melton was in it. But the mock trade was the Warriors would get LeBron, Cam Reddish, and Bronny. Don't forget Bronny now.
Yep.
Got to get Bronny James in there.
Yep.
The Warriors would give up, and I know what most of you are going to say. I'll say it too. Ready for this?
Yeah.
It was Melton's contract, so now you got to add another $13 million to this. But it was Wiggins, Kuminga, Pajemski, and your 2025 and 2027 first-round draft picks, only protected. The first one, top one protected, and the next one, top three protected.
Yeah, no chance.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm out on that.
So you're basically giving up both of those picks because your top three in the lottery is, I think, three-fourths of the teams that finish in the bottom three. They have, 25% chance odds of getting the number one. So unless you're a bottom three team, which you wouldn't be by adding LeBron, you're losing both of those picks.
The coach in Vallejo is next up on Willard and Dibs. Hey, coach.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Sup?
Here's my take. First of all, not only I agree with Dibs that Kuminga still has a chance, but not only looking at him now, but the excitement that he brings. So if you're not going to be good, you need to be exciting. And Kuminga is a very exciting player, one of the most exciting players in the NBA, and that's what people pay to see. If Steve Nash was playing right now, Jerry West, they're not as exciting as, say, a Jonathan Kuminga, a high flyer. But my question for you guys is, people are always talking about developing a player. What exactly does that mean, and how do you know when a player is developed? Because here's my example. Draymond Green is a developed player, but that pass he threw to Kuminga the other night, if Kuminga had thrown that same pass to Draymond, they would have said he's not developed. But since Draymond threw it, he's a developed player, but he made the same error. So what does develop mean, and how do you know when a player's developed?
Well,
thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, coach, thanks.
He's talking about the pass against Houston.
Right, I'm never going to whittle down someone's development to one play. I get where you're coming from, coach, but everybody's allowed to throw a bad pass. That doesn't mean that you are developed or not developed, for that matter. So if Jonathan threw that pass, sure, the discourse might be a little different around it, and that's life. Some people have resumes that other people don't have.
Gravitas and equity.
That's the rope that you get when you've built up what Draymond has built up. But how do you know when a player is developed versus not? I don't know if there are specific words to define it, but to me, It's kind of like what we talk about. You start seeing things at end of games and end of seasons, things that work when the rubber hits the road. Like, go back to the game in Denver last week, and you see, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, but the Warriors stop scoring, and then Jokic, on every single possession down at the other end, is able to score. That's when you know, to me, that someone is uber developed, because NBA teams, good or bad, can play for 3.5 quarters. That's why so many of the games are clutch games. You had enough talent on the floor to play for 3.5 quarters. But then the energy really hits the floor. Everybody puts their finishing five out there. Everyone plays their hardest. And who is able to function in that environment? And the Warriors' problem right now is that they don't function well in that environment. And you can put that on Steph. I sort of put it on fit. Like, they don't have a system right now where the five people, similar to the death lineup that we had a few years ago, where the five people can function and challenge a defense and usually get a bucket. They don't have that. When you see that, though, that's when you have developed players. And the Warriors right now have too many undeveloped players that make poor decisions and poor plays in big moments. And it's all their young guys. That's not just Jonathan. It's definitely Brandon Pajemski, too.
Well, and even of the vets, you don't have a lot of two-way players. And I say that with my eye toward the door so that somebody doesn't come in and throw something at me, because famously we were interviewing Bruce Bowen, and I referred to somebody as a two-way player like he was, and he said, well, they're all two-way players. And he jumped me, and it turned out to be one of those funny drops where the idea of a two-way player is kind of laughable. But if you look at this Warrior roster, Buddy Hield, good on offense, not on defense. Kyle Anderson, good on defense, not on offense. We could run through the whole roster, and the majority of these guys are not good on both ends of the floor. And Draymond is. Steph, you know, he's pretty good on defense, but he's so good on offense, it doesn't matter. But to your point, when you get down to the end of the game, what lineup do you play? Do you play your really good defensive five who can't score? Well, or do you play your run-and-gun offensive team that can't defend?
I'd also answer it this way, Dibs. Like, I mean, to the point that we're talking about. So the Warriors and developing players. To me, one of the challenges that they've really experienced, because they've got those, like, they had those three draft picks that became a dynasty. Steph, Clay, and Draymond. And now it's developed into different things. Then it became Jordan Poole, and he contributed to a championship as well. But outside of that Jordan Poole, you go back the last 5-6 years, and let's take a look at who the Warriors have drafted and developed. And the names that come to mind immediately, James Wiseman, Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, now Brandon Pajemski. There are some others in there as well, if you want to throw in a Trace Jackson Davis or whatever. The problem the Warriors have had is that I think they've been a team that's wanted to develop players, but they're not a developing team. They were a cooked team that was already ready to win championships. And so this idea of trying to develop young players while also trying to win a championship and having established veterans is very, very challenging.
It's almost impossible. Because to develop, you have to play, and to win, you need veterans. So you can't play your young guys and still win at a high level. So how do you go out there and develop? And yeah, you can go to the G League. Jordan Poole is a great example where he developed in the G League and came back. And, you know, now in his second year in Washington, he's finally starting to figure out the player he needs to be, right? Because he's getting a chance to develop by playing 33 minutes a night.
All right, we'll keep this going. And again, how aggressive do you want the Warriors to be with the remainder of Steph's career, even if it risks future assets? We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. We're also sponsored by the California Lottery. 888-957-9570. We are taking your calls now on Willard and Dibs.